Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Remember, we are all on the same team.
Remember, we're almost done.
We have an offense and a defense, but we all play for the same team.
Remember, the 5th of November.
What I was going to say is we're almost done with the things that I'm so, like, we're done. Like, we got here. I hope you got your I voted sticker today, or I hope you early voted.
2 weeks ago.
Dan, I saw your sticker. Did it fall off?
It fell off.
Okay, I feel like they have maybe skimped on the adhesive this year.
Yeah,
because
I think so too.
I was so excited. I got
supply
done voting.
Chain issues, I think.
Ran down to my favorite little spot on Johnson Drive, do a little shopping, and my sticker on Johnson Drive on the sidewalk went flew and then started rolling down the sidewalk like the Pancake Man, right? And this sweet younger woman said, "Oh my gosh, your I voted sticker. I'll get it." She starts running after the rolling I voted sticker and then steps on it, but steps on it so the adhesive is now on her boot. So she pulls it off, hands it back to me, and now the adhesive doesn't really work anymore. We laughed. I don't know who she voted for. She didn't know who I voted for, but at that moment we came together as Americans who love the I voted sticker.
Did you give her a gritted teeth?
I wanted that sticker. I don't know what it is when they tell you can get your sticker. I feel like it's this glorious American gold star that we all get to share in.
And these stickers are varied. There's some really nice ones
out
there.
I got a big one this year.
Yeah.
Maybe they've skimped on the adhesive because they're larger.
Maybe.
Expensive. I love that sticker.
I have the classic I voted sticker, and I saw one from the Northland, I think in Platte County, that was this fancy circle with the eagle on it. And
what? The eagle?
Yeah.
We're throwing bald eagles on there now.
Yeah, it's the seal.
The E pluribus unum.
Yes, E pluribus unum.
I would also like to point out, I do not know that there's a nicer group of people ever. Every year, I have voted in different places. I have voted at different times.
Than the election
worker. They are all so pleasant and happy to see you. And you know they probably have their own opinions.
Sure.
It is so nice to see you. Come right this way.
I thanked every single one that I engaged with in my poll.
I did too.
I actually told Sarah today, we were on the phone, and I said, when Dad retires, I want to be an election worker.
Oh,
I'm going to volunteer.
You're
going
to volunteer?
Yes. To be an election worker.
Shout out to one of my three children who drove back from Lawrence to vote today.
Good for her.
I was so proud of her. I said, babe, I'm so sorry. We didn't get the early voting thing like set up for the college kids this year. Mm-hmm. I had a lot going on. And she said, no, I'm driving back tomorrow to vote. And sure enough, I just got the photo of her wearing the I voted sticker.
So Maya is registered to vote. She lives in Warrensburg, as you know.
Yep.
But she's registered to vote in Johnson County.
Yes.
She came back last week with her mail-in ballot, her absentee ballot.
Good.
Whatever you want to call it. Do you know you have to put a stamp on that thing?
Yes.
If you're going to put it in the mail.
A lot of government...
they want the stamp on the stamp, Scott, to show that you mailed it prior to the deadline.
No, I understand that, but on a lot of stuff that comes from the government, in the corner, instead of a stamp, it'll say postage paid.
Right.
And so they would still have to put a timestamp when it got to the post office. But I put a stamp on there. I said, your vote is going to count. And I saw the mail truck go by. I ran out and handed it to him.
Good. Speaking of mail, I know we're going to come back to this at 3 o'clock, but this briefly came up yesterday, and then I about blew my lid in my kitchen today because I was going through the mail. I had 10, count them, 10 mailers from what I am now thinking might be a scam, but we're going to get to the bottom of it. You heard me mention this yesterday. If you have gotten this semi-threatening mailer that says, just want to remind you, the way you vote might not be public, but whether or not you voted is, and then it lists your name, your address, and your voting history, whether or not the last several years you have shown up to the polls. But it goes farther today, Scott, because I got another mailer today. It will show you on a scale of 0 to 100 how crappy you are at voting. Or it will say you have a pretty decent voting track record, yay you. But if you don't, it will say you fall below 20% of your neighbors when it comes to voting. And Dan, we looked this up. And Sam, I don't know if you were in the newsroom when I did this.
Sounds like scary, shameful
tactics.
It is
a, quote, organization that can be found. It's shaming is what it is. And the organization here can be found in Topeka. But if you dig a little bit deeper, CBS News has picked this up this past week. A couple of news stations around the country and other cities are saying, what is this thinly veiled, threatening mailer? Is it legal? How do they have your information? And what are they intending to prove here that they know whether or not you voted in the last election?
The only reason I don't think it's a scam is because there is no call to action other than go vote. There is no, hey, call now to clear up your information.
Oh,
give us your debit card number and we'll go ahead and get that cleared up for you right away.
But what is it their business to tell me to vote? Like, I hope that everyone listening, I truly hope that you went out and exercised the right, that people have died for that right. And I hope that you went out and exercised your right. But if you didn't, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. That's your business. Mm-hmm.
But if it's truly from the organization it claims to be from, that is their whole goal, is to get you to go vote.
For which side?
It doesn't matter.
Mm,
go exercise the right.
I don't know. Then why would it sound so threatening?
I think it sounds threatening because that's how you're reading it.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. We saw what you sent Sam and me earlier, and I'm going to disagree with you. I don't think it sounds threatening. I think you want it to sound threatening.
I'd like to take a look at it.
Oh, I will send it to you. Let me read you just a little bit from the CBS News story, and I feel vindicated after reading the CBS News story, because in the body of that story, it says what, you know, people are calling this a thinly veiled threat. Who are these people? I don't like the tone, I guess, is what I'm the word I'm looking for. I don't like the tone of the mailer.
Read the part that you find offensive.
They, three or four times they reiterate, remember in bold, who you vote for is private, but whether or not you voted is public record. And then there's this sentence that says, compared to other voters in your state, your voting record is blank.
Now read it in a happy tone.
And then they fill in below average.
Great point, Sam.
Average, you know? Or above average.
It's almost like an email. So it always reads angry.
Then it says P.S. Last thing, and then I'll turn you loose, Scott.
Okay.
P.S. To better understand why people do or do not vote, we may call you after the election to discuss your voting experience. Screw you.
Okay. Now, you read it to me the way you think it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to read it to you the way I think it sounds. Because I'm with Sam on this. Start with, remember who you vote for is private.
Remember who you vote for is private. It's in bold. Mm-hmm. But whether or not you voted is public record.
Keep going.
Compared to other voters in your state, your voting record is blank. And then they give you
above or below average. Right. See, I read that as, remember, who you vote for is private. But whether or not you voted is public record. Compared to other voters in your state, your voting record is above or below average.
Aw.
Now, Dana's sounds very threatening. Scott's, yours sounds welcoming.
Welcoming. Yeah. Sounds, hey,
no.
Get to the polls.
No.
We want you to vote. Exercise that right.
And maybe it's somewhere in between.
This is sent by a tax-exempt.
Now, they do have a chart here.
Oh, I'm aware. I saw the chart.
With an arrow, whether you're below average, average, or above average.
Well, the question is, were you compliant?
I'm always compliant. I think I have an almost spotless voting record when it comes to voting. I cannot remember the last time I did not vote.
Okay.
This is from CBS News. A voting, quote, report card sent by the tax-exempt Center for Voter Information on social media and in interviews with CBS News, recipients are complaining the letters are, quote, creepy and the tone is, quote, threatening.
I'm going to see if they're affiliated with a political party.
Through testing we've done with randomized controlled trials, quoting here from one of these people involved in this organization, what we see is that the tool that most effectively motivates people is having an understanding of what their neighbors are doing and feeling like it's a societal norm to do what other people are doing.
Now,
they're shaming you. Your neighbors are going to be able to find out whether or not you voted.
If they are affiliated with a political party, they didn't do their job very well because they didn't tell you who to vote for.
That's an important point Sam's making about a CTA. There's no call to action other than to vote.
You're right. Well, you're right. There is not.
Except at the end, it says, to better understand why people do or do not vote, we may call you after the election to discuss your vote. I dare them to call me. They will get an earful from me if they call me. I'm going to say, take me off your damn mailing list. And I don't think you can, because I read this in the CBS News article. Anyone can pay $125 and get a list of registered voters in your state.
So they sent out no fewer than 340 million pieces of mail this election cycle.
Who's paying for this?
So they are, it's a nonprofit, loosely, and by loosely, I mean very loosely, connected to the Democratic Party, which may explain why I didn't get one.
Well, the Center for Voter Information.org says that they are a nonprofit, nonpartisan partner.
Yeah. And like I said, with very loosely affiliated
Voter Participation Center. And then you look them up.
But who's paying for this, Dan? 350 million mailers and half of them have come to my mailbox.
The Voter Participation Center, U.S.-based nonprofit, 501c3, seeking to increase voter registration among young people, people of color, and unmarried women, a group it calls the New American Majority.
Interesting.
It didn't say women who buy sweaters with a mature cut.
Wow. Well, it does say among young people.
Wow.
Wow. Both of you can take that Center for
You're
Voting
not talking
mailer.
To me. No, you're talking to them. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. We'll do it every once in a while, but we're not going to make a regular habit out of it. But from the text line, today is Anna's 23rd birthday, and she is listening right now. She said her birthday wish is for Dana and Parks to wish her a happy birthday.
Aw, yay.
Anna, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday, Anna.
Very good. Terry in Kansas City. Terry, hello.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well, thank you.
Good. So my thoughts on it might be that, say, a certain group, let's say the Republicans, normally vote. Those type people normally vote. And maybe on the Democratic side, those people, they vote, but they don't normally vote. So if you get enough mailers out there, you can actually increase your voting, capacity by having more votes. So you can send it to all, but I don't know if this is true, but let's say the Republicans do normally vote. So if you send mailers to them, they're going to vote anyway. But if you send to the Democratic side, they don't normally vote. A lot of them, let's say, if you can entice them to vote. So you just send it to everybody.
But Dana normally votes.
Well, then that's what I'm saying, whether she's Republican or Democrat. But statistics, let's say the numbers say that this group does not vote this group comes
and
out.
Terry, I understand we're going to try to keep politics out of it, but yeah. I understand what you're saying up to the point that you think it's going to move the needle and get people out to vote. I just think it's annoying everybody.
But the point that he was trying to make is that since you are registered as a Democrat, maybe, and again, we're trying to keep politics out of this, but we did find that they are backed by a Democratic supportive.
And they're loosely connected to the Democrats.
But I think the point that he was trying to make was if Party A feels right. like their turnout is not strong enough, this is their way of trying to up turnout.
And my point is it's not going to make you go, oh, boy, someone's spying on me. I better go out and vote. Like if you don't vote, that's on you, I guess. I don't know.
I have a scam alert since we were talking about the mail earlier, mail-in ballots and stuff. This has nothing to do with the election. We've all been inundated with texts lately.
Makes me crazy.
So the political texts have stopped, but I got this one this morning. U.S. Customs. Now, how they have my number, I don't know. Oh, wait, they don't. This is a scam. It just says U.S. Customs, colon, you have a USPS parcel being cleared. Due to the detection of an invalid zip code address, the parcel cannot be cleared. The parcel is temporarily detained. Please confirm your zip code address information in the link within 24 hours. The U.S. Postal Team wishes you a wonderful day. Now, why would the U.S. Postal Team be wishing me a wonderful day if this text comes from U.S. Customs?
Yeah, that is clearly spam.
Pro tip, if there is a link in a text message
I did not click on it. And it does have the link right there.
Yeah. And if you click on it, they're going to have all of the data in your phone.
And yet this is from U.S. Customs, which means that I must have ordered something from overseas. I did not.
You know, I get a text from a UPS scam company every single time I order a package on any website anywhere. It's never shipping through that particular carrier, but it always comes and says, there was a holdup with your UPS package. I'm like, that's funny because I shipped through FedEx.
Huh. How much online shopping does Scott Parks do?
Zero.
Exactly. So do you think I have anything coming in from overseas?
Probably not.
And then the U.S. Postal Team wishes me a wonderful day at the end of a text from U.S. Customs.
Weird.
So weird.
Somebody says, I got the custom spam as well.
If it looks like a fish and it smells like a fish.
Well, but Sam, there was one a couple weeks ago that law enforcement was even saying, be careful. This looks like something you're going to want to click on and you don't. And it was the one that kept coming in that said, gosh, it wasn't a city. What was it, Scott? We warned everybody about this one.
Yeah.
It was KTAG. That you have a balance of $3.65,
right.
And I almost fell for it because that's about what it would cost to get from here to Lawrence. And they did switch over to the new license plate reader system, so I thought
mailed
maybe
you.
Oh, I know now. And it was my son that sent it to me, and he goes, is this fraud? And I Googled it, and it pops right up from KTAG and everybody else. Do not click on that link.
I'm amazed how many people in the text line are saying, I have received that exact same text. Scott, I got the same text this morning. Huh. I've received the same text.
I mean, I'm such a weirdo about it that even if people that I know send me a link, I'm like, hey, can you send me that on something else other than text messages? And then I'll open the link because I'm not clicking on it out of my text messages.
Right. How about them Chiefs?
Woo!
I can't believe we're 30 minutes into the show and that is just now coming up.
We actually played well last night.
I can't believe we're all still awake. I mean, I just... You know, with daylight saving time, with the rain, with the late hour, I mean, and then overtime, I am thrilled they won, but I think a whole lot of Kansas City has got a winning hangover this morning.
Oh, it was electric.
It was electric, but late.
I cannot believe
the other team didn't go for two. Cannot believe they did not go for two.
That I can understand.
Why?
Because it was raining. Their short pass game hadn't been great. The ball is wet, so you don't want to run it up the gut because you're then more likely to either have a fumble or most certainly not get the few yards that you need to get the extra point. You play it safe, you go to overtime, and you literally have a 50-50 chance.
They should have gone for two.
And guaranteed that you didn't get a 50-50? Because if
they
you
lost
go for
anyway.
Two, you've got
they
a
lost
much
anyway.
Smaller chance.
I don't know. And let me just talk about the collective quiet that came over Arrowhead when it looked like Patrick Mahomes had either popped an ankle or a knee or an ACL. I could hear my mother screaming from Mississippi.
Did you hear the announcer say, this is about as quiet as 76,000
yes,
fans
can be?
And it was silent.
Did you also hear Coach Reed say that when he told Mahomes he wanted to pull him from the game, he said Mahomes looked like he wanted to fight me, and I didn't feel like taking that on.
Well, did you see that the Buccaneers decided to huddle on top of the logo?
On the logo at the beginning of the game.
Mahomes could have had a, I don't want to say it because I don't want to jinx anything, but there could have been a serious injury and he would have still gone back in the game after a disrespect like that.
Wait a minute, I didn't see that. The Buccaneers
before the game
gathered on the arrowhead. That is the greatest insult in sports.
Yes.
Well, and it goes back to college because Baker Mayfield was known for planting the flag in the middle of the opposing team's center field logo and then walking away. And if you remember correctly, the big game in college for Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield was against one another. The Red Raiders and the Oklahoma Sooners, of which Baker Mayfield won.
I understand.
What a game.
Huh. You made it to the end?
Oh, my gosh. And my new favorite player, D-Hop. Let's Ooh. Just please.
DeAndre Hopkins, baby.
Please discuss his game.
Did you just call him D-Hop?
Yes, that is what everyone is calling him, and I am on
board.
I
don't believe anybody's.
Yes, everyone is calling him that.
Sam, can you confirm that?
Everyone.
His nickname is D-Hop, yes.
Oh, God.
What a performance.
Okay. He played well.
It was electric.
From what I saw. 913-586-7798, 586-7798. Oh, a quick reminder, we begin our election coverage tonight with ABC News at 6 o'clock here on Dana and Parks and on KMBZ, and full election coverage tomorrow morning on Kansas City's Morning News.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So we recognize, of course, that this is a huge day in America. It's Election Day. The Dana and Parks program does our level best to not talk about politics, certainly not in a divisive way. And we can talk about going to vote or
getting, or divisive. Getting, I mean, however you want to say it.
Sam, wow. You want to put it in the pronouncer, please?
I think it's divisive, but I wasn't even going to call it out. I mean, I was just going to let it slide.
I mean, I think we could all come together and agree on one thing today, and that is the way you pronounce divisive.
I believe there are two pronunciations for it.
Cannot like ever forward. Admit when he is wrong.
Oh, my God. Coming from you?
Children.
Yeah.
You've never admitted when you were wrong.
It's because I'm never wrong.
Even when we prove you wrong.
She did one time, and I recorded it.
Oh, Emporia State? Or no,
No, she said, I apologize. I don't remember what we were talking about, but let's see. What does the pronouncer say?
Divisive.
You don't really have to look it up. There is no other way to pronounce it.
One more time.
Divisive.
I digress. Go ahead.
Sam,
Scott,
are there two pronunciations for divisive, divisive?
Just admit you were wrong and let's move on.
I'm going to divisive. Captain Encyclopedia.
That's great.
Divisive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can just turn the same thing that I looked up.
Yep. It's all good.
Then I was wrong.
We're all going to get
divisive.
All
you don't have to slow it down. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
She sounds so snarky.
What if I slow it down and shout?
Wait, what if I make it British?
And by the way,
divisive.
Well, still divisive and British.
Go ahead. You were saying.
Story here.
No, what are we going to do today? You never got to the point because she cut you off.
Oh, that's right. I was going to announce that we're going to do terrible jokes later on today.
Yes, please.
And we're going to play a game of Family Feud because this is a day where we try to not be divisive and talk about politics.
Yep. Divisive.
Or divisive. Right. And talk about politics. I don't think for a second in the next commercial break I'm not going to look that word up.
You are not going to be surprised by what I'm about to say to you, because I don't know when the results are coming in, nor do I care to sit around moping and watching the like false, what is the word I'm looking for, where everyone is just trying to get you to be angry all the time. I'm just done with that part of my life.
Faux outrage.
So as a longtime news person that has decided I am not going to watch any of this anymore, I am meeting my daughter for a glass of wine, and then I'm going to go home with her. We have plans to watch Gladiator tonight, the original 5-time Oscar award-winning Gladiator with Russell Crowe, because I am so excited about the new Gladiator coming out with Denzel Washington. I want her to see the first one so we can all go see the second one. I'm not even going to be watching the returns. We're not going to know tonight anyway.
You're going to watch Gladiator?
I am watching Gladiator.
You've never seen it.
I have seen it.
I'm not movie shaming you.
Yep, I have seen it. She has not. And I want her to see it just to have some background before we go see the Denzel Washington, which, by the way, early reviews are outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying he could win another Oscar.
So it comes down to a dialect thing, whether it's the soft eye or the hard eye.
Here we go.
It turns out the hard eye is correct, but mm-hmm. the soft eye is correct in areas where they use it
wrongly.
Like milk. Well, the North is still M-I-L-K, even though they say it with an E.
Divisive in Western Shawnee.
Correct.
There is no divisiveness in Western Shawnee.
That's correct as well.
It's divisive everywhere else.
Did I tell you our biggest fan happens to work at the Target in Western Shawnee?
The Target is in Eastern Shawnee.
And I would like you, you know,
don't
accept know my
targets
directions.
In Western Shawnee.
You know, I would like you to go in and say hi. He is one of our biggest fans, and he was working the checkout counter the other day the rarest of occasions that I actually went in to a store, and he was absolutely lovely. And he said, he leaned in and he goes, "You know, Scott Parks lives out this way, but I've never seen him in here. He doesn't come in here."
That's not true. I've been to that Target.
I am going to send him in.
I've been to that Target, even though it's in Eastern Shawnee.
He's so sweet. I told you his name. I am not going to say it on the air, but I want you to go in and say hello.
Okay, I will.
Big smile on my face.
I will. Story here. By the way, let's get the time set. When do we want to do terrible jokes?
3:45.
3:45 it is.
3:45, and then we can play a little game later.
Family Feud. What time do we want to play Family Feud?
4:45.
I think, yeah, 4:45, sure. Okay.
All right, sounds good.
Do it.
Terrible story here. A man was killed when hot asphalt was poured on top of him.
Oh, my gosh.
According to authorities, the man was standing behind a dump truck when the hydraulics on the truck malfunctioned, causing asphalt be poured on top of him. It happened in Jackson, Mississippi. The man has not been identified. He was buried under the hot asphalt.
Oh, gosh.
Ooh, my word. Story here from Lawrence. An attorney representing a man accused of making a sex video of a woman without her knowledge told a Douglas County judge yesterday that he planned to argue for dismissal because of some, quote, unusual facts.
No.
The accused, Garrett Lynch, 26, of Kansas City, Missouri, is charged in Douglas County District Court with one felony count of breach of privacy in connection with an incident that occurred on July 24th, 2022, when he is alleged to have made a sex video of a woman that he met on a dating app without her knowledge. Lynch is alleged to have later sent that sex tape to the woman's boyfriend.
Okay.
That's cold.
We might bring this back a little bit later in the program. Because what is the, is it invasion of privacy? What always worries me about these stories is that there isn't a law harsh enough to address it. Because once that material is out in the universe, mm-hmm. you're not going to put that genie back in the bottle. As a woman or a man, without your consent, if something like this is thrown out there, you're not going to get that back. You know, we've seen suicides over this, especially with our young people.
Yeah, that's true.
So I do not think this should be dismissed. Let a jury sort it out. And if, in fact, he filmed something without her knowledge, that involves, what, a secret hidden camera somewhere?
Presumably, yeah.
And then sent it on to the boyfriend. I mean, come on.
Now, I'm not defending what this guy did in any way, shape, or form, but in a one one party recording state, meaning you don't need consent from the other party. Yeah. One party consent state.
Not when you're naked.
He technically didn't violate any laws by recording the act.
Oh, I disagree. Or he wouldn't be charged, Sam. That's if I am picking up the phone and I'm calling you and saying, now, Sam, tell me the other day, did you really steal a grape in the grocery store and eat it? And you don't know I'm recording that.
When it comes to the fact that he sent it to someone, that becomes revenge porn.
No. You cannot.
He might be right.
You cannot tape someone in a sex act or a bathroom or with you just can't. I don't know what law it is, but you can't do that.
But in a bathroom, you're dealing with a non-consenting adult.
This was a non-consenting adult.
I understand, but she consented to the act that was being recorded.
Now,
what we're saying.
Had he been recording her having coital relations with another person,
or going to the restroom,
that would be different.
No, you are so wrong.
In a
recording someone having sex without their consent is a criminal offense. Let me see. In most states, we wouldn't even be talking about this case in Lawrence if it wasn't a criminal offense.
Well, the DA certainly
thinks
it is. It's
called non-consensual pornography.
Okay.
Now, here's the problem. Here it is. I knew it. In most states, a first offense is usually a gross misdemeanor, but subsequent offenses can be felonies. Really?
Well, then where do you draw the line for what you're allowed to have one-party consent for recording?
I'm naked and in the act of doing those things. Yes, you can consent to the act. And absolutely not consent to the filming of the act. That is a gross violation of privacy.
Even if you only keep it to yourself?
Yep, because it's never really kept to yourself.
Well, not in this case it wasn't. But if he had kept it to himself, nobody would have known he had committed the crime.
Doesn't mean a crime wasn't committed, but nobody would have known.
I agree with you on that. 913-586-7798. We have terrible jokes coming your way in 1 hour. Here on Dana and Parks. Story here from the New York Post. Bernard Marcus, one of two creators of the Home Depot, died late last night at his home in Florida. He was 95 years old.
Wow.
Marcus's death was confirmed by an official at his nonprofit group, the Jobs Creator Network. He died of natural causes. Best known as one of the founders of Home Depot, teaming up with financier Ken Langone and businessman Arthur Blank, one of three, to create from scratch a company that employs now nearly 500,000 people.
Yep. Look, I'm going to ask you real quick, and Sam, maybe you can look this up. Before Home Depot and or Lowe's, this was revolutionary.
And the giant box hardware
and the mom and pop stores would tell you, down on Southwest Boulevard, people still go there, and Houston's in Prairie Village, and I hope that they do. But they will tell you before that, you just had the mom and pop.
I wonder when Ace Hardware started up.
I was going to say Ace Hardware, and I believe Sutherland's, which is essentially a mom and pop, but one that grew to being a semi-chain here in the metro.
I mean, Ace Hardware is not a gigantic box store like a Home Depot or a Lowe's, but Ace Hardware, which is usually about half the size, started in 1924.
But sometimes I like the half the size. If you've got to run in and get one thing at a hardware store, you would rather do it at a Strasser's, was the one I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. Strasser's or a Houston's or a True Value, where you can just park, walk in, grab it, walk out. You know, sometimes the big box store, it's like, oh, I don't want to go in there. But I think Home Depot revolutionized the way we look at home improvement.
When do you think Home Depot started?
95.
Really?
I have no idea.
Not even close. 1978.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the big box hardware store before the big box hardware store.
Yep. They now have 2,300 locations.
But wait, when did it grow into the mammoth?
Probably in the 90s.
Yeah.
Is when it started, you started seeing them all over the country. He was worth almost $8 billion. The company's stock market value now tops $400 billion.
Wow.
You can't forget Builder's Square.
Builder's Square, that's right.
Oh, that's right.
Lowe's also dates back to 1921.
In Topeka?
Does it really?
Mm-hmm.
We had Roach's Hardware. And I mean, it was like 8 parking spots in the front. You pull up, go in, and there were always like older, much older gentlemen who knew exactly what to do, what you were looking for, and where to find it.
Well, and see, and there's a handful over here on Johnson Drive and Mission.
True Value's over there.
I love it.
True Value, that's right. And I like to go over there just because I like supporting a smaller store. And, you know, I'll go to Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever if there's something that I know that they have that I'm like, I don't know that the smaller hardware store is going to have that.
I was actually going to say, if you need something specific, the smaller ones tend to have that more often than the big box stores because it's the niche item.
Here's another notable death that you might not know the name of the man, but man, you are going to know the product if you are our age or even younger. Murray McCory, dead at age 80, created the JanSport school
backpack.
I saw this from the New York Times last night, you guys. McCory brought lightweight packs to millions of students and transformed the way we carried textbooks to school. He also fashioned a tent, by the way, with a dome-shaped frame that took off. But when you think JanSport, Scott, I don't think we could have afforded those when I was in high school. But as I went off to KU, I got my first JanSport. It was burgundy with a little leather bottom. Mm-hmm. And I had that for decades, to the point that one of my children ended up carrying it in either high school or college.
No way.
Yes.
Huh.
I still have the same black trans JanSport that I had in grade school.
He was a student at the University of Washington when he entered a national competition to design a new product using aluminum. He was an avid outdoorsman and had long chafed under the stiff, one-size-fits-all wooden frames of traditional hiking backpacks. That's why he came up with JanSport.
So before the backpack that we know it today, how did kids get around with their books? In wood and aluminum?
No, well, for hiking, yes. But I think before that, what did kids our age use?
Well, how many times have you seen a movie where they have their books on string?
Yes.
Huh. Well, and was it a time when everybody had their own set of textbooks, or was it a time when they would go to school, learn, and then go home?
Probably. By the mid-1970s, JanSport was making more than $1 million a year in revenue, close to $6 million in today's dollars. Thanks in part to a new product with a very different application, what they called the University Bookstore Rucksack. Isn't that crazy?
Are we done? Susan Smith in prison for the cold-blooded. We'll do it after the top of the hour.
Why do you always have to bring her up?
Because did you feel the temperature in the room just increase 10 degrees?
I'm going to take my sweatshirt off. Yes.
Two words.
Susan Smith.
I was in such a good mood.
Who, by the way, is eligible for parole, I believe, this month.
Look at those JanSport backpacks.
We'll get to that in just a moment. Also, today is Election Day. We do have our commercial for the candidate of choice.
What?
Dana and Parks have never, ever endorsed a candidate on air. That changed this week. Our commercial for our candidate. When we return here on Dana and Parks, Dan has the news in 2 minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.